This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
My name is Lois Bashong, and I was raised in Honduras, where my parents were missionaries for many, many years. So I am one of those adult missionary kids. And then I also went back to Honduras and worked as a missionary for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then I did a huge career change, and now I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I do a lot of counseling with missionaries, with pastors, adult missionary kids, and then general run-of-the-mill people.
Right. Well, and so the other thing we should add right now is that we are near an airport, and every once in a while, our listeners will hear small airplanes, which, for those listening, will probably be more of a comforting sound than it would be a distraction.
I was going to say, it's a comforting sound to me because our boarding school when I was growing up was near a Missionary Aviation Fellowship base. So we always heard the little planes landing, so whenever I hear the... I grew up with the sound of little airplanes,
right.
So it's a source of comfort to me. A topic that I'd like for us to talk about today is the impact of missionary systems on your missionary kids, more particularly when they grow up to become adults.
Okay.
But before we go down and start to look at that, I want to say that I believe very strongly in the Great Commission, and I believe it's God-ordained. But at times it's costly. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe it's really worth the cost. But sometimes, you know, I think the cost is greater than what is even required by God. And sometimes we inflict pain on people without realizing it. And sometimes even as parents, you know, you want to do the best job you can with your child, but sometimes we communicate messages that we don't really intend to communicate to our children. And so several years ago, Ruth Van Rieken and I began to talk about the impact of systems on the missionary kid. And we found that, you know, sometimes missionary kids struggle to find peace in the midst of brokenness. Sometimes there's scars that are done in the name of an organization or a system, whether that's an organizational system, a family system, a boarding school system, or a field system that is inflicted on the child. And as a result of that, sometimes there are warped messages that are passed down through the child, to the child. And as a result, then, as an adult, that adult missionary kid becomes fearful to get involved in sometimes in any type of a system whatsoever. So as we start this, one of the first questions that I'd like for us to look at is, first of all, what is a system? You know, and the textbook definition says it's a group of objects, principles, or units combined to form a whole and to move or work together. I like to look at it as a system is mainly a number of unspoken as well as spoken expectations and dynamics that are communicated. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best examples out there is the Emperor's Kingdom. You know, the childhood story about the emperor that has no clothes.
Right.
Okay. And remember how the story goes that the tailor was making a beautiful suit for the emperor. But in reality, there was no suit. There was nothing.
Right.
And then the emperor rode through town naked and everybody cheered about the beautiful suit. And the result was that there was a parade of an emperor without any clothes. Mm-hmm. But what happened was the system dynamics took over. One person, you know, to save his own skin said, hey, it's a beautiful suit.
Right.
And then no one wanted to disagree with that person. So the dynamics of the crowd took over and they followed the leader. Mm-hmm. And also, I believe systems are good. Systems are basically good. God created the universe. What a marvelous system that we have. And there are systems every place in our universe. And as I've thought about it, I've thought, okay, what is the purpose of a system? First of all, the system creates stability and longevity. You know, when a system is in place, you know what to do. And sometimes that's why cultural adjustments are so difficult, because you're going to a totally new system, cultural system, and you don't know what to do. But when a system is in place, you know what to do. A system promotes growth and change if it's a healthy system. And it encourages people to use their talents and their ability. Also, I believe a system gives a place of security or belonging. Like I say, I'm part of the Bashong system, the Bashong family system. Or I proudly say, you know, I'm a missionary kid. That's a system in itself. And a friend of mine belongs to the military, to the Army. And she says, wherever I go, whenever I run into the military, I feel I'm at home. And then finally, a system creates predictability, both good and bad. I know what to do. I know how life works. I know what will happen to me if I break the rules.
So tell me, Lois, why is it important then to look at systems when we look at cross-cultural kids?
I think the reason it's important is because cross-cultural kids are not rooted in places. They're not rooted in any land, any place, because they move around so much, or we moved around so much.
Right.
And your cross-cultural kids are rooted in relationships. They're rooted in organizations. They're rooted in families. They're rooted in friendships rather than places. And that's the key issue of everything that I'm sharing with you. Because of that deep rootedness, psychologists once said that, and he said, I just cannot overemphasize the tightness of the missionary kid to the system in which they grew up. And I was thinking about that when I first started down this journey of thinking about this topic, and I thought, that's true. Because I have a tough time identifying myself without throwing in there someplace, I'm a cross-culture kid.
Right.
Or I'm a missionary kid. And somebody said, well, why don't you introduce yourself, just Lois Bashong, da-da-da-da.
Right.
I can't. That defines who I am. It gives me a system of where I belong. And where your kids, that dad works for Ford, it isn't the same. They don't say, you know, I'm Susie Smith and I'm a Ford kid.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
But those of us that have the international world, we are identified by that system. And thinking about the impact of the system on the missionary kid, I think of it, and this is going to be kind of difficult, because usually when I talk about this, I usually have a sketch pad and I'm sitting there drawing. So I'm going to have to do this without my sketch pad. Okay. But you think of it as kind of like, up on top, we have God's call on the missionary family.
Right.
And so we have God at the top. And his message to the family is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So God's at the top. Then the missionary has to decide, okay, which mission organization am I going to go to carry out that call? So it could be Wycliffe, New Tribes, AIM, you know, wherever. So he has to make a decision. He or she have to make a decision, which mission organization. Then, after they choose the mission agency, then they decide, or the mission agency decides, which country they're going to go to. So then it comes down a notch. Okay, so we have God at the top. Then we have the system of that mission agency. Then we have the system of the field. Then when you get to the field, you have to choose a ministry. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you chose that before you chose the mission. But it could be in the hospital, it could be the church, it could be the university. So you have that layer of system. Then, say you decide to go with church planting. Then in the church planting on that field, let's say it's the field of Chad, okay? And then all the church planters, we have the Jones family, we have the Ortega family, we have the Lee family. And then each one of those families has a system. So let's say, then you've got Susie down here at the bottom. If a decision is made at the higher level of the organization, it has a direct impact all the way down, clear to the bottom. And the child sometimes gets it mixed up. They don't know, did the mission decide that? Or is that a command of God? Because the child doesn't separate it out. It's all they know, it's coming from above. And wherever there's a breakdown in that system, it impacts those at the lower level. For example, it could be that these missionaries, say the Ortega family is working in Chad, like I said, in church growth. And because they're working in church growth, that particular field or that particular mission station has the understanding, which sometimes comes across as the rule, whenever the doors are open, you are expected to be there. The child can sometimes turn that message and say, that's what the Bible teaches. And so it's important because at all the way down, these messages are impacted onto the child.
So is there any type of a pattern or cycle where a healthy system can become unhealthy?
Yeah, because I was thinking about that. It's again, back to a drawing that's in our mind here. It's okay. So you have God's command, and it's a good command, and it's go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So you have God's command, which then goes to a vision for how to obey that command. You know, you have God's command, and so you get together and say, how am I going to obey that command? And so then when you decide that, you think, okay, let's form an organization, or let's go with an organization with that command of go ye into all the world. And then you figure, okay, so how are we going to carry this out? So then you get to the next step of what are the methods? What are the means that we're going to implement to carry out that vision? You know, we're going to need schools for kids. We're going to need money to fund this. Are we going to do church planning? Are we going to do airplane evangelism? Are we going to do hospital work? What are the methods and the means that we're going to utilize to carry out God's command of go ye into all the world? Then as life goes on and the years pass and people change in administration and the organization continues to cycle through its life cycle, then sometimes what happens is the methods and the means and the vision all become one. They all get tangled up and it becomes, you know, well, something like, okay, let's do the boarding school one. Although that's changing nowadays because there's many more options than boarding school. Right. But during the time that I grew up, education for your kids was either go to boarding school or you studied Calvary correspondence course. But then, so those were the methods and the means to educate the kids. But then it became in some organizations where the methods and the means and the vision all became one was if you are a good missionary, you are going to send your kids to boarding school. There were no more options.
Right.
So the it all became one. And then it keeps cycling and where the methods and the means become the rules and get tangled up or replace the vision. So now it's like everybody has to do it this way. There are no choices. And then sometimes what happens is the organization hits a crisis. And when the crisis happens, whether it's a financial crisis, whether it's something that took place, or whether it's just a change of an administration, or whether sometimes it's we can't get any more funding.
Right.
So there's some kind of a crisis. And then the organization's is hit with a choice. Do we go back and go back to our roots? What was our basic reason for existing? What was our basic vision? And to go back and redefine that? Or, sad to say, some organizations then start to spiral down. They go down that road. The rules become stricter. They start to implode. They start to get secretive. They start to impose all these things, and it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. And when I say sicker, you know, more broken.
Right.
or sometimes there's a crisis and people spiral off and they form a new organization. God has called me to this new work instead of doing that.
Right.
And as I was thinking about it, and as Ruth and I were looking at that, we began to see that's exactly what happened to the Pharisees. You know, they started off great. You know, there was a reason, a good reason for the Pharisees. But as things happened, as things went on, it just got more closed. There were more and more rules. And they had rules about, you know, well, we don't want to associate with them. We'll get contaminated. And, you know, they began to develop absolute rules and absolute principles. And they began to defend the tradition rather than the truth. And they began to debate doctrinal details. And they were trying to get converts to the system rather than to God. Systems can spiral totally, totally out of control. Mm-hmm. And they can stifle. And sometimes, you know, I think when, if I remember correctly, wasn't it about the Pharisees when Jesus said, you know, hey, we have to throw out these old wineskins. Mm-hmm. You know, some systems, you just almost have to blow them up. Because they can't be fixed. They can't be replaced. And we don't want to slide into that.
Well, Lois, this is all really very fascinating to me. And I'm wondering, what does a healthy system look like? And a person who is in such a healthy system?
Okay. Again, I'm the visual person. So as I was thinking about that, I thought of it in the form of boxes. Now, that metaphor could eventually break down, but it, in
as
my
in
thinking,
cardboard boxes.
Yeah, cardboard
boxes.
Okay,
cardboard boxes. We've
That's
got this
what
picture.
I'm thinking of.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so the first box, we're going to call it the healthy system,
mm-hmm.
and that particular cardboard box, it's open.
Okay.
The lid is wide open. People can move in and out of that system freely. There isn't any problem. There aren't any problems with that moving about them moving in and out of that organization or that international organization. Mm-hmm. It happens freely, and you don't feel that you're being squished with your creativity. And the sides, the first side that I see is respect for the individual. That person within that organization feels valued for their talents, for their characteristics. You know, you're valued because you're a great philosopher.
Right.
And that's what they tap into. And that individual knows that that organization has their best interest at heart. Another side of the box are absolute principles. Those are principles that are non-negotiable on which the system is based. You know, for example, in the international community, one of those absolute principles might be increase the line of profit. Mm-hmm. For the military world, one of those absolute principles might be obey the commander. For the diplomatic community, it might be represent the country in a very positive way. In the missions community, it might be, well, I know it is, because that's the world I come from, is obey the Ten Commandments and follow God.
Right.
So that's one side. Another side of the box, I call boundaries. And those boundaries aren't rigid, they're flexible. They know when to be flexible and they know when to be rigid depending on the circumstance. Mm-hmm. And then finally, deep within, that system offers stability while promoting growth. I feel I can grow. Now, what does the person look like that's living in that box? Okay.
Right.
Kind of weird living in a box, but you understand. First of all, I think that they have a healthy sense of belonging. You know, they don't feel owned or used by the system.
Right.
They don't feel powerless. And also, they have such a strong sense of fulfillment. They feel good mm-hmm. about being part of that organization. They have a strong contentment deep within their soul. And they feel safe in sharing feelings, needs, ideas, even if it's different than their coworkers.
Right.
So they feel safe. Now, those are families where you can sit down and one person can say, hey, I'm for this political candidate, and the other person can say, I'm for this one. And you can have that discussion without getting beat up. And then you had the capacity to make choices. But sadly, not all organizations are healthy.
Right.
And the unhealthiness can be at a top level, or it can be down at a family level, or one individual on a station. And there are some systems that I call broken. Those systems are, that's, our box is now closed. And it has just masking tape to keep it closed.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.